Greetings and welcome to Soundography, a crash course in music one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And welcome to season number lucky seven. Holy cow, I actually pre-show had to ask Hammond what season we're in because I can't believe we're already up to season seven of Soundography. That's awesome.
I know. It feels like we just ran the Kickstarter with fear and apprehension just yesterday.
Were those two punk bands that we did episodes about, Fear and Apprehension? They should be if they're not.
No, those were both my nicknames in high school.
Those were both my finishing moves in wrestling. And we're done, folks. No, welcome to episode one of season seven. And we've got a lot of great music that we are so excited to bring you this season and so excited to discover ourselves, including today's an artist that I know, or that we all know kind of better as a producer, a music producer, more than we know as a performer, writer, certainly singer, and someone who's had kind of a resurgence recently thanks to Daft Punk. And that is Giorgio Moroder. I want to make sure I pronounce all this right because it's Giorgio, like the fragrance, Giorgio Moroder.
Yeah, I knew exactly two of his songs, and one of them was because of a cover.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, I'm excited about this. This is interesting because I've been a fan ever since the 80s and a movie called Electric Dreams. And I remember on the local video channel, they would show the video for Phil Oakey and Giorgio Moroder's Together in Electric Dreams all the time. I'm like, oh, this is such a great song. And I saw the movie and the movie was kind of garbage, but the song is so dang catchy that it was then that I discovered, oh, he's worked with so many people from, you know, Donna Summer to Irene Cara to, you know, all these other Kenny Loggins. It's great. So it's really cool to kind of be able to tie all of these loose ends into one episode of the show, all surrounding this guy.
Yeah.
This one guy.
Yeah. I'm excited actually to have this covered because this is one of those moments in Soundography where, as I was doing the research, put the notes together, I was actually learning a ton. And I've been sitting on this information now for a little bit because I did the notes a little while ago, waiting to talk to someone who actually cared about the information. Because if I went upstairs and told my wife about the stuff, she'd just go, uh-huh, yeah, and keep on reading her book. But
yeah, I made the mistake of playing some of his non-single work for Tina, and I'll tell you which specific albums, and be like, oh, poor Tina. While we were doing some house stuff the other day, and she's like, what are we listening to?
I get that frequently.
Is this porn music, Brian?
That was something that came up in my listening. I was wondering if that was porn music we were listening to.
There are times that Giorgio's music borders on 70s porn music.
Yes.
I'm just going to say it right now. All right, let's talk about this. Giovanni Giorgio Moroder was born in 1940 in Italy. He was raised speaking both German and Italian, and he's known as the father of disco. In 1963, he released a few singles after moving to Berlin, and on those singles, he sang in Italian, English, German, and Spanish. So very cool, multilingual. In 1969, he released his first album. It's called That's Bubblegum, That's Giorgio. Debut solo album contained the song Looky Looky.
Okay, and hang on.
Yeah.
Right here, we get a real snapshot of who this guy is and will continue to be with the title and with the lead single, Looky Looky. This pretty much
for sure.
This sets a path that he walks on still to this day.
Yes, and I think without a doubt, it's a path that absolutely kind of sets the stage for what you hear throughout his entire career. Mm-hmm. I think he learned sometime in the early 2000s the right way to use some of the equipment that he had on that path with him. I'm just saying. And look, I'm a fan. I really like Giorgio Moroder. So don't anybody listening, don't take any of the stuff that I'm saying as dissing the guy, because I think that number one, he's legendary in music just because of his contributions to so many different styles and genres. Electronica owes him a debt of gratitude. Disco owes him a debt of gratitude. Indie indie pop. I think even owes him a debt of gratitude. Certainly electropop, Kylie Minogue and Katy Perry and folks like that probably owe him a debt of gratitude too. So
no, I fully agree.
A thick coating of I appreciate the guy to kind of cover all the stuff that we're going to say.
No, I fully agree. There's a level of genius in this, and it's campy and silly, not because he's doing it for any other reason than this is what he wants to do.
Yeah.
This is not him being it because he doesn't know another way. These are choices he made, and these are choices to bring fun and silliness into music, and it totally works for him. I can't see a lot of people doing it, but it totally worked for him. And if anyone's asking and wondering, it was Brian that suggested us to do this, just so everyone's clear on
that. It was, wasn't it? Okay, I forgot about that. Yeah. All right.
You only had two requirements for this season, and this was one of them.
Oh, and I love the other one, too. I can't wait to talk about that one. All right. So we talked about that first album, 1969's That's Bubblegum. You saw a rise in prominence when the song Looky Looky won a gold disc in 1970, which also contained a few covers. In 1970, he released a self-titled Giorgio album. This was basically his first album re-released, had some songs removed or rearranged. And it was around this time that he founded Musicland Studios. That's right next to the Sam Goody. And made a name for himself in the 70s with frequent work with Pete Bellotte.
Yep.
In 1972, he released the album Son of My Father. This album actually proved to gain him some notoriety and prominence with the single of the same name, Son of My Father. Tears, Underdog, and the title track all appeared in a German movie called Die Klosterschlinnen.
He also did the score for it as well. What was the name of the movie again?
For Die Klosterschlinnen. Schlinnen. There's a lot of nins at the end of that. I was proud that I said D and not die.
Yes. Well, die Bart die. D Bart D.
D Bart D. Deflatormouth. Automation also appeared in another German released film called Oswald Kahl. Oswald.
Okay, I have to admit, as I was typing all these German words out, I giggled because I knew you were going to be reading them.
That I was going to have to pronounce them, yeah. I get it. I totally get it. Listen, I've been watching Dark on Netflix, which is all in German, so I'm watching with English subtitles. So I'm hearing all this stuff constantly anyway. So this is a good time for me to be attempting to do these. In 1973, he released the album Giorgio's Music. Donna Summer sang the backing vocals, uncredited, for the track Hilft der Selbst. In 1979, he released the album Einzelganger. This was more of an experiment in electronica than his previous albums.
That was 1975.
Oh, what did I say?
79.
Oh, geez, why did I jump ahead? 1975, Einzelganger. Ganga. For me, this is when his arrangement starts to sound like the Giorgio Moroder that we know and love. It's like so dead on to the modern stuff, but the mid-modern stuff, the 80s and 90s stuff. Starts to kind of take shape here. In 1976, he released Nights in White Satin. Side A of the vinyl release was a very long disco version of the Moody Blues hit. An original piece called In the Middle of the Night was inserted into the middle of this epic cover. Features his vocals. I believe that's his vocals. And you know who shouldn't be doing vocals? Giorgio Moroder. It's a very thin, thin, deep voice that sounds very creepy. Maybe that's the thing.
Yeah, maybe he was trying to make it translated into a ghostly. Maybe he was trying to be like Ghost Malone.
Ghost Malone. Very good. Good Halloween joke. 1977, he released From Here to Eternity. This album peaked at number 130 on the top 200 chart. The album was well reviewed, and in 2004, listed at number 88 on the list of top 100 albums of the 1970s. The title track was released as a single. That same year, he worked with Donna Summer on the dance track I Feel Love.
And this was later covered by Venus Hum and the Blue Man Group. And that might come up later in the show. Hint, hint, hint.
Oh, wow. Cool. Very iconic. And there's a reason that it comes up as the first track when you search for Giorgio Moroder produced song, yeah. That I Feel Love mm-hmm. cover. It's so great, too. So disco. Mm-hmm. In 1978, he worked on the score for Midnight Express. This actually won the Oscar for Best Original Score in 1979. And The Chase, song has been used for radio shows and saw play wherever disco was starting to gain momentum.
And this is the other piece of music I knew because Art Bell used it on Coast to Coast overnight radio when I was working at the jail back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, very cool. Wow, yeah, this... It's funny because I wasn't familiar with the song by name, but definitely by sound. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, I know this one. Dun, 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 yep. dun, dun, dun. And it's got a very, almost like a Vangelis Blade Runner soundtrack kind of feel to it.
Except it's faster. It's like, you know, 140 beats per minute faster than anything on the Blade Runner soundtrack.
Right. Well, yeah, for sure. In 1978, he released the album Loves in You, Loves in Me. Loves in You and Love Now, Hurt Later were released as singles.
Harold Faltermeyer of soon to be
Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah.
Yeah. Soon to be Beverly Hills Cop made an appearance on this soundtrack.
Wow. And talk about a logical connection. If you were to tell me that Giorgio Moroder and Harold Faltermeyer were colleagues, contemporaries, I would have said, oh yeah, that doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah. The one name that in the research that I kept waiting to see that didn't was Jan Hammer.
Yeah. No kidding. You'd think that the two of them, similar kind of thing. Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of soundtracks, a lot of scores.
Yep.
So very surprising not to see those two together. 1979, E=MC². This was called the first electronic live to digital album. And the title track reached number 4 on the dance charts.
And the title track also, E=MC², is like a lesson in how to use the vocoder. It's like vocoder 101.
And this is probably, I mean, this is still around the time of Peter Frampton's Frampton Comes Alive, where he uses the vocoder a lot.
And Alan Parsons did it on that Raven, that Raven song from Tales of Mystery and Imagination. 79 was a big year. Well, the late 70s were big years for the vocoder.
For sure. Yeah. Boy, and they've almost completely disappeared.
Yep.
Too bad. Other singles from this album, Baby Blue, What a Night, and If You Weren't Afraid. In 1980, he did the scores for Foxes and American Gigolo. Foxes contained On the Radio, featuring Donna Summer. And American Gigolo, of course, had Bad Love with vocals by Cher. Penance, we have to do a Cher episode now. It also contained, of course, Call Me by Blondie, the biggest song from the soundtrack.
He
in 1982 did the soundtrack for Cat People, which featured Putting Out a Fire with Gasoline by David Bowie. Such a great song. I don't know about the movie, but the soundtrack is fantastic. And 1983 saw him produce the soundtrack for Scarface, which included tracks by Paul Engerman, Debbie Harry, Amy Holland, and my little friend. Say hello.
Very well.
In 1983, he released the album Solitary Men. Now, this is an album he did with Joe Esposito, who's another name you know a lot from soundtracks. Mm-hmm. He worked with Flashdance, Staying Alive. Probably the biggest thing that you know him from is that song You're the Best from the 1984 film The Karate Kid.
Yep. So I want to talk about the title for a minute.
Sure. Solitary Men?
Yes. Yeah. It's called Solitary Men. Now, if mm-hmm. you're solitary, you cannot use the plural, right?
The plural.
It's kind of like an airhead.
Well,
it's kind of like an airhead.
Not necessarily.
They talk about the band The Lone Rangers. You can't
right.
be lone and Rangers with an S.
I would agree to some degree. I would agree to some degree. Well, I kind of like that. Because I think you can have two solitary men that just aren't very close to each other, right? Like they're just solitary men. Like, oh yeah, my uncles are solitary men. One lives in Hoboken, New Jersey, and the other one lives in San Dimas.
Okay. All right. San Dimas. Wow. Bill and Ted match.
It was a Bill and Ted reference. I was just trying to think of something West Coast and San Dimas for some reason came to mind.
So, and also I couldn't help when I was typing it to think of Missionary Man by
Eurythmics.
Eurythmics, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, my first thought would be, was it Glenn Campbell? I know, Johnny Cash did a cover of it, or did he do the original? Ooh. Solitary Man.
I don't know.
That's what I'm thinking. That song, I think that is a Glenn Campbell original. No, Neil Diamond. Of course it's Neil Diamond. But then Johnny Cash did a great cover of it. And that album, I hate saying this, but Joe Esposito is kind of, you know, kind of cheese, right?
Oh, well, and we're going to get into that. We're going to get into the cheese a little bit later because one of the songs on my list is mm-hmm. Total Cheese Voice. And
oh, really?
I still put it on there because I kind of like cheese voice sometimes, especially with this music. Cheese voice works.
It totally works. So yeah, this album really is better than it has any right to be. Don't know why.
I felt that way about the Trolls movie.
Oh, see, and I hear people raving about that. No, maybe I need to see
it
that.
It is so much better than it had any right to be.
And Trolls. I hated those toys. How am I going to like the film?
I got to tell you, I walked in with my 11-year-old. I guess she was 10 or 9 at the time when it first came out. And I put, mm-hmm. I was fully prepared to put AirPods in and listen to the morning stream.
Really?
And
just dream theater, listen to like 2-3 songs for the whole movie.
And it never worked out because I all of a sudden was captivated by this dumb movie with great music.
Well, I'll give it a shot. All right. In 1984, he compiled a new restoration and edit of the silent film Metropolis and provided it with a new contemporary score.
And this contains tracks from Pat Benatar, John Anderson, Adam Ant, Billy Squire, Loverboy, Bonnie Tyler, and Freddie Mercury.
And kind of in the opposite of Solitary Men, this album is worse than it should be.
Yes.
I'm bummed that none of the songs on that album are great standout tracks. I listened to the thing twice trying to think, oh, there's got to be something I can pull from here for my list. And it's all just so bland.
I think that this one of the songs I pulled comes from mm-hmm. it because of Cheese Voice.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So maybe that's the key then. We'll see. Around this time, you also collaborated with Limahl from Kajagoogoo, Too Shy Shy, for the hit Never Ending Story. In 1985, he released the album Philip Oakey and Georgie Moroder. Phil Oakey from the Human League, working together. One track on there, I believe, is from the soundtrack. I wasn't sure if this album featured multiple songs from the soundtrack or if that track, Together in Electric Dreams, just was the only thing from the movie.
I think that the three songs, Together in Electric Dreams, Goodbye, Bad Times, and Be My Lover, were all in it. Mm-hmm. But I think, and this is because there are some convolution with the film and the title and the name and the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Weird things happened. So I think all that ended was Together in Electric Dreams ended up in the film. I think the rest of them got shocked.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. That said, this album to me is as good as any Human League album. It's so good. It's so hooky. It's got, yeah, I love Phil Oakey's voice, one of the best voices in new wave music. And it just fits perfectly with Giorgio's arrangement. So if you like Human League and you don't already have this one, check it out. A lot of people liked it because it peaked at number 52 on the UK album charts. And like I mentioned, it contains Together in Electric, or like Hammond mentioned, contains the singles Together in Electric Dreams, Goodbye, Bad Times, and Be My Lover Now. According to an interview in 2003, Phil Oakey says that the album was completed in just a few days. So funny.
Yeah. And it's funny how sometimes this really, really good music is finished fast, and really, really hard to listen to stuff takes a lifetime to work on.
Takes a long time to produce. Yeah, it's true. If this wouldn't have been such a big single, this Together in Electric Dreams, it absolutely would be on my list of top five. But I figured it's the first episode of the season. I'm not going to cheat this early on.
I may or might not have.
Oh, well, all right. I guess I shouldn't. Throw out a diss, yeah. That might.
Don't cast aspersions yet. I want to say this now because while it's on my mind, and I didn't put it in the notes, but I feel like a missed opportunity. They missed an opportunity because he could have really, I think, at the peak of Spice Girlness, I think there really could have been some fun to be had.
Oh, what an idea, right? A Spice Girls, Giorgio Moroder. It's funny because, and we'll talk about this on one of his later albums, but he works with a lot of current pop stars. Mm-hmm. And so it would have been a perfect meeting of the minds.
Yeah.
Great thought. Great suggestion. And of course, you know, that plays right into my wheelhouse. In 1985, the album Innovations came out, mostly a collection of previously released material that had been remixed and extended and things like that. Around this time, he also worked with Tom Whitlock and Harold Faltermeyer to write the score for Top Gun.
And this, of course, featured also Kenny Loggins in Berlin.
It did, and it's funny, if you ever hear the original version of Take My Breath Away, so the song that was a really huge hit for Berlin from this movie, it shouldn't be credited to Berlin as much as it should be credited to Giorgio Moroder and Terry Nunn, because the original recording, the original demo of it featured Martha, what is her last name? Martha Jones? From the Motels. She was the original vocalist picked for that song. And it just sounds like the same song with different vocals. There's very little Berlin on that album as much as there is just Terry Nunn, or on that single. It's really just Terry Nunn's voice. He also wrote the song Meet Me Halfway for the inspiring and touching 1987 movie Over the Top, which taught so many people a new way to arm wrestle.
And wear their hats.
What's that?
And wear their hats while doing it.
Oh, you have to have the hat backwards. Yes, that's a requirement. Yes. That's right. Both the hand in arm wrestling and the hat go over the top. It just finally clicked for me. I just made that connection. Moroder then went on to work with Falco on Body Next to Body. And in 1984 and 1988, he wrote music for the Olympics, and in 1990 contributed music to the FIFA World Cup. In 1990, he released the album To Be Number One. Now, this is released as the Giorgio Moroder Project, which project in this case translates to 90s as shit. Because it is like they took every 90s instrument, sound effect, style. It's like the Spin Doctors threw up and they picked all the stuff out to make this album. It's, I don't know.
And I kind of like the Spin Doctors, especially their first two albums.
All right. I'll lay off the Spin Doctors. It's like I like Soul Asylum. It's like EMF threw up.
There we go. EMF, that works.
That's probably of all three of the bands, EMF is probably the closest thing to this. 1992, Forever Dancing came out. And in 2012, he returned to music with a theme to Google's Racer. And the next year, worked with Daft Punk. And since then, he's worked with Red Bull, Volkswagen, Medion, Lana Del Rey, and Lady Gaga. In 2015, he released the album Deja Vu, which was his first album in 23 years. And it features Britney Spears, Kylie Minogue, Kellis, Sia, Charlie XCX, Mickey Echo, and others. And it's like Daft Punk showed him how to use all the equipment that he's been using all the years and said, oh, check this out. If you actually connect this thing here, listen to that sound. Yeah. Like, oh, wow, I've discovered a new sound. And it's
Giorgio,
great.
It's called MIDI, not MIDI.
Oh, right. Okay. Now I get it.
What? That's crazy. And for the first time that I think it's ever happened in the history of soundography, during the time that we were preparing for this show, a brand new single was released by the artist that we were focused on. It's a 3-song single called Our Love. It was released 2 days ago or 3 days ago from when we recorded this. And so brand new Giorgio Moroder stuff. Preparing for soundography.
It's a nice change of pace. It's a nice change of pace because usually between 2 and 4 months after we cover a show, people have died. So,
right. Gosh, yeah. No kidding. Kiss of death, this show can be sometimes. All right. So, knowing all that and getting his biography under our belts, Hammond, tell us about some statistics for Giorgio Moroder.
So we've kind of talked about this. He has influenced everyone from the Blue Man Group to Daft Punk to Lil Wayne. We've covered all the people he's worked with, Britney Spears, Kylie Minogue, all these people. And It's not only because he has been doing it for so long, it's because his style of music keeps going in and out of vogue. And he continues just doing what he's doing. And people discover him and then reach out to him to produce their stuff when they're doing things that fit what he does. And I think that's
a great point. Yeah.
That kind of consistency really has proven to be his strong point. And I admire someone who's just true to themselves and their artistic vision, regardless of if it's popular or not, because he must know somewhere that it's going to come back around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He worked in early electronic music and paved the way for all the branches of EDM and techno that exist today. He's won 3 Oscars, won Midnight Express, Best Song for Flashdance, and Take My Breath Away. He's won 4 Grammys and 4 Golden Globes.
Wow, that's cool. Very cool. And you're right. It's basically like he's had this straight and true path. And it's the music style that has kind of wavered back and forth and keeps crossing his path as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah. He's not chasing anything except his own bliss. Everybody else's bliss keeps bumping into his on occasion.
Right. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. That's a great way to put it. Excellent. All right. So, we talked about, some of the songs that he's most well known for. And I don't know if you could go see a Giorgio Moroder concert, you'd probably see him be a guest producer in somebody else's show, or maybe be keyboardist or something like that, programmer. What song would be his Stairway to Heaven? What is the song that you would find on every Giorgio Moroder best of collection or greatest hits or essential list. And so, I think there are like quite a few.
So there's a ton of them. And I didn't know exactly where to start with even guessing. So I just went with, yeah, I Feel Love from Here to Eternity, Looky Looky. And then I feel like because it was so widely used by so many different people, I mean, if Art Bell's using it, everybody's using it. So I picked The Chase.
That's a great choice. And I think that what really speaks to that is when you find all these remix albums that he's released, almost all of them have a new version of The Chase. It's like the song that he just can't keep his hands off of. It's updating his, and remixing and it's improving.
It's his Blue Monday.
Yeah, right. That's a good comparison. Very good. Who would we like to hear him cover? This is, again, another interesting one when you're dealing with a producer rather than a performer. But what I should have done was, when I came up with this, decided who I'd want to do vocals on this, because it wouldn't be him doing the vocals. It would be him bringing somebody on. Let's say Spice Girls. Oh, that would work so well with mine unintentionally. All right. Well, mine is The Chain by Fleetwood Mac. Now, stay with me here. When you think of electronic covers, I really feel like if you've got a song that's in a minor key, or at least the cover can be in a minor key, electronica works so much better. And it needs to have some good instrumental buildup. And The Chain has that in spades. It's such a great analog song that taking it digital would accentuate the bitter undertones of the lyrics without overshadowing them with production and too much noise to drown out the words. You know, maybe the Spice Girls wouldn't be the right one. It would be funny because, I mean, that was the whole thing about The Chain, was that all the bitter infighting that was going on with Fleetwood Mac at the time kind of inspired those lyrics. So you'd almost want it to still be an artist that's got some animosity brewing between the members.
So basically you could do Sporty. What's her real name? The one that did the Broadway covers album?
Mel C.
Yes, she could do it just on her own.
There you go. Yeah, that's true. She could. She actually just released a brand new album herself, and it's really good. I need to update our Spice Girls episode of Soundography.
Spice Girls part duh.
Yeah, that's funny. You know, we've never even talked about doing that. When an artist that we've covered comes out with a new album, automatically just doing a little one-off episode where we...
So here's what we do. Between seasons, I'll make a list of all the ones we've done and see if they keep down new stuff. And then we'll do like an appendix for first one through season or seven, and kind of update on everybody on what's going on. Alive,
except
dead,
for,
new
except
album.
For Third Eye Blind.
Except for Third Eye Blind. No, Third Eye Blind.
Yeah.
They're done.
All right. So The Chain, Fleetwood Mac is the one I'd like to hear. Here's what you do. You do Jerry Halliwell, who left the Spice Girls, Harry Styles, who left One Direction, and
Timberlake
is good. He'd be a good one. I was thinking the gal that left Fifth Harmony,
or Joey Fatone.
Camila Cabello. And you could have those three with their animosity towards their former bands.
And Fatone could be backup dancer.
just in the studio while they're recording, just shuffling around behind them, doing the wave. Yeah, perfect.
The aura. What's your tone?
Tell me your choice for who you'd like to hear him cover.
Okay, so mine's Goofy. I'm gonna put it out there right at the top, and it's gonna, people are gonna accuse me of maybe not taking it seriously, but because of the silliness and the camp and the fun that this guy's kind of always held to, having him do a disco-produced EDM-y kind of version of the Scooby-Doo theme song, its complete song, not the truncated theme song that you hear on cartoons, but the whole thing.
Right.
I think that would be a perfect fit, and I'd love to hear it happen.
I think it'd be great. Who would you have do the vocals?
I'd be open to a lot of people. I think they'd have to be fans of Scooby-Doo. So we'd have to do a little bit of interviewing to find out who's, you know, got the mm-hmm. Scooby-Doo tattoo somewhere that they don't talk about too often. But okay. I think that there's enough people out there who hold it true to themselves. Like in this new Scoob movie that came out, having the theme song be done by him would have been really cool.
Interesting. That would be cool. And that's a good way to kind of use the updated cover is to tie it to a reboot of, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you that one. That's a good choice. Excellent choice. So now let's get to our playlist. This is where we each pick five songs that if you add those to a greatest hits or an essentials playlist or things like that, you'll have a nice good variety of both the stuff you know and the stuff maybe you might miss if you don't track it down on some of these deep cuts on these albums. As always, I will start. And first one comes from the most recent big thing that he has done, which is the Deja Vu album. Came out in 2015. And as we mentioned, features guest appearances by Sia and Kellis and Charlie XCX. It also features Right Here, Right Now with Kylie Minogue. It's just a solid pop masterpiece. This is like a class in how you do a pop song in 2020.
Hold on. Yeah. Is this, I missed this. And if I missed it, maybe someone else did. This is not a cover of the Jesus Jones tune, right?
It is not Jesus Jones. Okay. No, here's what's funny. You look at that album list and you've got Diamonds. You've got Deja Vu, Right Here, Right Now, Tempted. None of which are covers of the songs that you think that they'd be covers of. however, there is a cover of Tom's Diner, the Suzanne Vega track that got remixed by DNA in the 90s and turned into something brand new and turned into a hit. But I really don't like that cover. I'm really bummed. I really wanted to like that cover, but it just feels so flaccid. I don't know. It's a disappointment, that cover. So stick with Right Here, Right Now, which is Kylie Minogue's track on that album. I'm Left, You're Right, She's Gone. This is from the From Here to Eternity album. Didn't see my fate and I woke up much too late. I'm left, you're right, she's gone. This phrase, this title track phrase is such, or this track title phrase is so clever. It's the subject of two pop songs. There's another one that's by Tom Jones and Stereophonic. And, but they're not, neither one is a cover of the other, right? They're totally two independent songs, but it's such a clever phrase that I'd love it for that. And it's a great song. Number three on my list is Show Me the Night. This is from Solitary Men with Joe Esposito. The evening heat on the city streets, the light, a shade of sleazy blue. Sick and tired of thinking, get some serious drinking. Well, numbers that consider to be, by the way, a Joe Esposito solo album. So figure that into the whole Solitary Men business. I don't know why this song shouldn't be good. Why is it good? It's like a slow Joe Esposito throwaway movie ballad, but it's really good. And I don't know why I like it, but I like it.
Remember that argument when I get to my number three.
Okay, I'll remember. God, see it already. Number four for me is Shake It Up. No, it's not a cover of the song by the Cars. This one comes from the Phil Oakey, Giorgio Moroder duet album. Oh, duet. I don't know if it's a duet album. Collaboration album. Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up. Look, I can't use Together in Electric Dreams because it's a single. So I'm going to go with the second best track on that album. Is it repetitive? Yes. But you know what? It's catchy, so I'll allow it. Last one, because I have to put a cover on this. Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Now, this comes from the Queen of the South soundtrack from 2018. On its own, even a great soundtrack. There are two great covers on there. There's this one, and then there's a cover of Blondie's One Way or Another. This one has the slight edge for me because of the switch into a minor key from the typical major key. Plus, all the lyrics are in Spanish, and I don't know why that really appeals to me, but for whatever reason, it totally does. So that's a good soundtrack to tide you over on that style, that Daft Punk influence that he's had. Hammond, what about yours?
Well, I just wanted to say it would have been funny if you'd said it was from the Queen of the Damned instead of the Queen of the South.
The Queen of the Damned South.
and then I would have been really, it would have been much funnier if you had said, no, this isn't a cover either.
Oh, yeah. Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Nope, not a cover, surprisingly. Yeah, there are just some titles that you just can't do a song of that title.
I start with... See, and here's the thing is I don't know if I picked hits because I'm not familiar.
It's hard to gauge whether they're hits or not. At least his quote unquote solo stuff.
Yeah. So I just kind of rolled with the stuff I liked. So if I picked hits, I'm sorry. If I pick things that are too popular, I'm sorry. It just, this was way new to me. And so I kind of gravitated toward what I liked and I didn't really pay attention to where it was. So
you're allowed that for this one because you're coming to this completely.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you bending the rules for me, Brian.
Of course.
This is why we're friends. So my first one is from E equals MC Square. It's the title track. I'm a huge sucker for the vocoder. I always have been, and I always will be. I think it's a very cool thing, and whether it's Mick Mars using it on the guitar solo for Kickstart My Heart or Alan Parsons doing Edgar Allan Poe through it, it's a cool sounding instrument. Does it sound a little dated and silly? Yes, but when used properly or even improperly, it's still super cool.
Hey, dated is cool again.
Yeah. The next one I picked was I Feel Love. I have loved this song for ages. I mean, I've liked this song for ages. I fell in love with this song because of the Blue Man Group cover. They emphasized the disco without getting silly about it. They emphasized the electronic aspect of it without being silly. And then they updated the vocals and showed respect to the original vocals without kind of mimicking them. So
totally true.
That arrangement that the Blue Man Group did just took that song that was great and had good bones and good structure and made everything 10 to 25% better.
When they did their How to Be a Rockstar tour, they brought Venus Hum with them on tour just to do the song. I think Venus Hum, the lead singer, came out and did two songs with them, but still, I mean, that's a lot of effort to bring another band with you on a tour for just one or two songs.
Yeah. It's very
but
true.
But it's that good.
My youngest daughter wanted me to build her the rainbow dress that she
wore. Yes. The light up rainbow dress.
Yeah. And I figured out how to do it. I just never got around to it because we didn't have the vacuum form to make the dress shape that she would have to wear for the lights to be wrapped around. So,
right.
My next one is On Your Own. For every heart. This is Billy Squire at his cheesy voice best.
This is from Metropolis, right?
Yeah. And I look, every now and then Cheesy has this amazing thing that works. You mentioned it with Esposito. I'm talking about it with Billy Squire. Billy Squire is cheese. I mean, you can't get it's Velveeta, 70s Velveeta, spread over rock music or music in general.
It's a big block of it that you get at Costco.
Exactly. It's government Velveeta. And for whatever reason, I like his voice in certain settings, and this is one of those settings, and I'll own it. Throw a water balloon at me if you want. I like this song, and every now and then, Billy Squire's voice really does hit. My fourth is Son of My Father. It's like someone said to him, make a fun song that has all the musical sounds of the 70s, but it can't be disco. And so that was his challenge, and this is what he came up with.
It totally sounds like in this song he invents the stylophone. I've got one of those, and I could probably... I could probably play that track right now.
Use your musical note thing too.
Right.
Yeah.
I could totally do a cover with the duet of the two crappiest instruments in my room here.
And then the last one is Classically Elise. Late 70s, early 80s, there's this huge run on discifying classical songs. Like the most famous one is the Fifth of Beethoven.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah.
That's probably the most famous disco cover of a classical song. This fits right into that niche genre of 70s disco music. And it's a pretty good cover if you're going to do a disco version of For Elise.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's a good one, too. I like it when classical pieces like that get covered. That is going to do it for this edition. Next week, it's Blue Cheer, a band that I know, I think, for one song. Their Summertime Blues track, and that's it. 60s, 70s. I love it when we throw these bands in here that maybe made a little bit of a splash in that era, and we kind of get a chance to explore their other work. So Blue Cheer is going to be the focus of next week's episode. Between now and then, hey, we want to hear from you. Email us at soundographypodcast@gmail.com. We read everything that you submit. Or tweet us on Twitter. We are @thesoundography on Twitter. Everything else, just come to our website, soundography.com. It's right there. It's on the web and it's free to access. How about that? Each episode that you find on there in our entire 7-season backlog or 6-season backlog of the previous seasons contains playlist information, links to Spotify to where you can hear the music we talk about, a link to Amazon if you want to go buy the music we talk about, and more. It's all right there for you at soundography.com. You can also support the show by going to patreon.com. We've started up a new thing where we're doing these patron-only shows about once a month, talking about music-related movies. So there is extra content to be heard that you'll only get to hear if you're a patron, but we've made it super easy for you. As little as $1 a month, of course, you know, do more if you can do more, but $1 a month will get you all those extra shows and give you a feed that you don't have to maintain separately from your regular feed. You get everything. You get the bonus stuff and you get the regular stuff. So all in one feed, patreon.com/soundography. And of course, if you like the show, leave us a review somewhere where you get your podcasts, either iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, I think maybe even has them now. I'm not sure, but all of those places, find our show there and you've got a way to review it and let people know you like it. By golly, please do it. Have I used by golly twice now in this exit, in this close?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. there's a by golly count. Everybody take a drink every time I do that. Aside from that, that's about it. Hammond, anything to say closing out?
I was going to say, I didn't even mention the band that shall be not named.
I did. Oh, that's right, you did.
Wow.
I did. Yes, that's, it was me this time. That's a
flip. Yeah, oh my gosh.
It is. I'll take credit or blame for that, whichever wants to be assigned to me. That is going to do it. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying we'll see you next time right here on Soundography.